Welcome to Food Matters Live. This is the podcast that showcases the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stephen Gates. I'm a food science writer, TV presenter, and a gastronaut. And this edition is made in partnership with Tetra Pak. Today we're looking at the importance of collaboration. In a food system as vast and complicated as ours, it's very difficult to make it alone. And for those companies addressing major challenges, such as reducing waste, making the food system more sustainable, making food safe for a growing global population, collaboration is vital. It's also true that where complicated and often expensive science and engineering are involved, it can be a challenge for a smaller company to scale up their big ideas and get them out into the world. These challenges will only be overcome by innovation, discovering, adapting, and refining the best solutions. And that's where today's guests come in. An example of a collaboration on a project involving enzymes in an exciting and intelligent way, which has the potential to have a huge impact in so many areas of the food sector. So I'm delighted to welcome to the podcast Lydia Garcia, who is Head of Project Management and External Innovation at Tetra Pak and is responsible for external partnerships at Tetra Pak Processing. Hello there, Lydia.
Hi, Stefan. Thank you very much for the introduction.
Wonderful to have you with us. And we've also got Dr. Karim Engelmark Kasimji, co-founder and CEO of Enginezyme, which was founded in 2014 with a vision to make the chemical industry sustainable. Hello there, Karim.
Hello, Stefan. Very nice to be here. Thanks for the introduction.
It's fantastic to have you as well. Now, in the introduction, I outlined some of the huge challenges the food industry faces. It seems to me that research and development is key to any solution. We need to find smarter ways of doing things. So, Lydia, let's start with a quick introduction to your role. Can you explain Tetra Pak's ethos when it comes to innovation and R&D and how collaboration can come into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you introduced before, I'm responsible for the external partnerships on the processing side of Tetra Pak. And our ethos on innovation comes as a natural response of the challenges that our world is experiencing. As you named a little bit before, we have the rising hunger. In the recent years, population growth has become one of the biggest challenges for the food and drink industry. And we have nearly one third of the world population. It's around 2.37 billion people food insecure. Then we have as well this climate change with one third of the food produced in the world that goes to waste. And Stefan, last but not least, we shouldn't forget that COVID has left a significant footprint that's reshaping consumer preferences. And all of these changes are making that consumer behaviors are being different, because now people understand how their choices impact the overall society. And then what happens is that the offer in the market is becoming endless. So for example, today in the supermarket or restaurant, it's not really strange to find what we call engineered food products, alternative proteins instead of dairy, nutritional products that are based on new ingredients. And Stefan, the question is, for Tetra Pak, how to efficiently respond to this endless offer, right? How do we innovate in the best and most efficient and impactful way? And the answers is found into partnerships, and more partnerships. And why, you would ask? Well, because using external sources of innovations is really a fast and a smart way of building capabilities in addition to the ones that we have already internally.
So we're going to return to the theme of this in a minute. But first, let's talk about Enginezyme. Now, this is the company which Karim founded in 2014. Now, Karim, your vision is to make the chemical industry greener and more sustainable. Can you outline exactly what your company does and how you're working towards a green goal and how that can be transferred to the food industry as well?
Right. Happy to do so. So first of all, chemical industry is a pillar of the way we live today, of our the world in general. It's a $5 trillion big industry. So I bet you, if you look around, you will not find a single object in the room you're in that is not somehow produced by this enormous industry. It's necessary for the way we live our lives. And the way stuff is made in this industry is to make things really simple now, is to take starting materials, you put them through a manufacturing process and transform them to your product. That transformation process is what we're looking at Engenzyme, and that is what is today not sustainable. It uses too much energy, it cannot use enough bio-based starting materials, and it produces lots and lots of waste. And the reason for that is that it uses catalysts, and this transformation process needs catalysts. That's the chemical name for a substance that helps the transformation. That's a catalyst. So these are usually today metals. They can be heavy metals, poisonous compounds. They require high heat, and they are the reason why you get all this waste as well, because it's not specific catalyst. Nature has what's called enzymes. Enzymes are nature's catalysts, and they help to produce, to convert starting materials, bio-based starting materials, because nature runs on bio-based, as you might know. And it does this, these conversions, these beautiful chemical conversions, these fantastic products are made without high heat, without high energy inputs, and without making these enormous amounts of waste. So the idea behind Engenzyme is to enable these enzymes to be used in chemical manufacturing. That is the underlying theme. So how do we take the enzymes from nature, from the cells, into the factory? And that includes manufacture of, I mean, when I say chemical industry, people think about plastics and that or, you know, chemicals, whatever. That's true, but it also includes food processing and lots of the stuff that we eat or you know, the clothes or whatever. And in terms of food processing, it becomes even more relevant, because we don't want our foods to contain toxic waste or other bad compounds that we don't like. We don't want to eat things that have been made in a non-sustainable way. I want to give my kids healthy food that is natural and tastes good, etc. So again, how can we make these enzymes work in an efficient, cost-efficient way for industry, for food industry, for chemicals, for any kind of industry? How can we enable that and just evolve towards a better way of making all the things we need? So it's not revolution, really. It's an evolution, because we're going to be more efficient and cheaper and more sustainable without changing everything we do. We need this industry, but we need it to work in a sustainable way.
And it's really interesting. I think what you were saying is about, you know, people are concerned about the concept of chemicals. And I was doing a science festival at the weekend, and I literally, you turn to the audience and say, right, who thinks it's a bad idea to eat chemicals? And everyone puts their hands up. And then you say, well, what do you think all matter on the planet is made of? And they go, chemicals. What is all food made of? What are you made of? Chemicals. But also, in an extension of this, you know, our bodies and people, again, the words of chemicals scare people. And, you know, the words enzymes, it's like, oh, you're using these chemicals in my body. Now, I mean, your body makes its own enzymes as well, doesn't it? I mean, amylase is in your saliva, you've got pancreatic enzymes, lots of different things as part of the metabolic process. So do you think that we should not be scared of chemicals? We shouldn't be scared of enzymes. We shouldn't be scared of science in our food.
Absolutely. I think, I mean, just to compare, when you say bacteria, people also go, oh, bacteria is bad, it makes me sick. Well, you know, 99% of all bacteria does not make you sick. In fact, you are depending on gut bacteria to digest your food. You're depending on bacteria on your skin not to become ill. So you're working with bacteria. In the same way, chemicals is just a word. Chemicals is just molecules. We, you know, 99.99% of all chemicals are actually nice. And as you said, you are made of chemicals. You're made of various different molecules. So of course we shouldn't be scared of them. The problem is that we have been using the bad ones a lot and been pouring them out in our lakes and rivers. And that is the bad thing. I mean, it's good that we're learning now what the consequences of these actions are, and also learning how to actually avoid those manufacturing processes. Because again, we cannot feed the planet without manufacturing food. 40% of the nitrogen in your body comes from chemical industry, because it was made into fertilizer and then poured onto fields, and plants are grown and animals eat them. So without the chemical industry, you wouldn't have all the people on the planet. It would be impossible. So we need the industry. We need chemicals. They're necessary But we just don't need the bad ones. That's all.
And that's the important thing. Is it's all very well me saying that chemicals are good. It's actually about the chemical industry. Now, the chemical industry makes everything from plastics to pharmaceuticals. It's a vast, technologically focused industry. But what is its environmental impact?
The environmental impact, I think, can be summarized with these three things I said in the beginning. And that is, first of all, it doesn't use bio-based starting materials enough. So we want to use more bio-based and less fossil-based, of course, for all the reasons that you already know. Secondly, it uses too much energy. In the conversion of starting materials to products, we are pouring in energy in various forms into these manufacturing processes, using up a large portion, actually, of the energy produced in the world for chemicals manufacture. That is not acceptable. We need to fix that. And thirdly, we produce lots and lots of waste. You mentioned, for example, pharmaceuticals. Some pharmaceuticals have a 100-to-1 waste-to-product ratio, meaning you produce 100 kilos of crap when you produce 1 kilo of a medicine. That is also not acceptable. And that number generally goes down to when you're talking about less complex molecules or less complex substances. So it's not 100-to-1. Maybe it's 10-to-1 or maybe it's 2-to-1, but still. 2-to-1 is still, you're making more waste than you're making product. We cannot accept this. We need to be more efficient. And you know what is good here? What is so beautiful is when you make a chemical greener or a food product greener in terms of having less energy consumption and less waste, you're actually making it cheaper. These things go hand in hand. It's not like making organic meat when you pay more to be sustainable. Here, sustainable means less waste, less energy, so cheaper, more efficient. So it's a win-win for everyone. And that's what we're trying to achieve. We have to evolve the industry now so we can put these solutions into play. So that's why I really like working with Lydia and her company Tetra Pak, because they've understood this. And they're putting their hands up and saying, look, we're gonna go forward with this. We're going to try. We believe in this. And that's exactly what the world needs right now. People saying, look, this actually works. We can see the economics. We can see the benefits. And we want to move this forward. This is beautiful.
So let's explore that concept a little bit more, because working in an area as vast and complicated as this must throw up lots of challenges. What have been the biggest hurdles that you've had to overcome at Enginezyme?
So the biggest hurdles, I mean, there are many kinds of hurdles in a startup company. You have to overcome your challenges in terms of technical challenges and market implementation challenges. But I want to highlight one major one, is that the industry in general is conservative. Nobody wants to risk building a factory on unproven technology. So it has the right to be conservative. I understand the conservatism. But that is the biggest hurdle, to prove that your technology is scalable, can be used economically to produce products at large scale. And you have to prove this without having a customer, because customers won't come before you have the proof. So it's a catch-22 kind of situation. So we need to get out of that circle and bit by bit nudge ourselves out and say, look, we have this proof. Now can we go to scale? Oh, we have scaled up this thing. That also means that thing can be scaled. And then partnerships like this one is actually a key to this success as well, to move away. And that is, I think, the major hurdle, that we have to prove scale and market worthiness with our own money, which is tough, frankly.
Yeah. And obviously this is expensive work. So how much of a barrier are finances when getting a project like yours off the ground?
Oh, it's a huge barrier. And of course it's CapEx intense. So even though we have the solution at hand, we have something that we can show on paper and in the lab or in some sort of pilot operation that is functioning, we still need a factory to implement it, right? And we don't have that factory. We're a growing company. But so that's the barrier. So of course, there we also need partnerships. As you said, Lydia, this is the key to success, combining new technology with established, knowledgeable business. I think that's the key here.
Which brings us on to the partnership with Tetra Pak. Can you introduce that collaboration to us and explain how it works well for you?
Yeah, so in the first instance, we are using a waste stream. When you make cheese or Greek yogurt, you're making lots of whey. So we've been talking for a couple of years back and forth. What can we do together? And introducing our technology, looking at Tetra Pak, and now we finally established this partnership where we say, look, we have right now a waste stream that our customers need to handle, and you, Engine, can actually do something with this and turn it into not waste. It's only considered waste because nobody knows what to do with it, right? That's why it's waste. But it's actually food. It's something that the cows made, and then you extracted protein and fat from the milk, and you made cheese or yogurt, and the rest is still food, but we just don't know what to do with it. So Engine has enzymes. We can use enzymes to convert that into various value-added products. Again, the key here is economy. We need to do that cheap enough. So this is based on what the experience of Tetra Pak, seeing what their customers actually need today, seeing this is a problem right now that you can solve. So and again, then we have a solution to an actual problem. We don't have a solution looking for a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we see today. So that's where we're going to start and say, look, we will solve this first. And then after that, the sky is the limit. We can do so many things together, but it's a perfect way to start.
Hello there, only me. I just want to break into the conversation to say that if you're enjoying this episode, then you might be interested in attending a free online event that Food Matters Live is hosting in partnership with Tetra Pak. It features the climate optimist, Anne-Thérèse Ginari. It's all about how businesses can embed sustainability into their company practices in a positive way and take advantage of the new opportunities provided by the sustainability agenda. To sign up, go to foodmatterslive.com and search climate optimism. And now, back to the chat. So Lydia, let's look at how this works in practice, because Tetra Pak is a huge, multifaceted company. How do you bring those benefits to a collaboration like this with Engine? Is it about building networks? Is it about tapping into knowledge economy? Or is it about the in-house expertise, exchanging knowledge with external experts? How does it all work?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Stefan. And I'm going to take back to what Kari mentioned before. Actually, right now, we are tackling this solution to the actual problem, and the collaboration is focusing on the acid whey. So we are trying to solve how to convert the acid whey producing from the fresh cheese and yogurt. We are talking about 22.5 million liters annually into this added value ingredient that could be probiotic fiber, for example, and then we could use it to put it into yogurt production to improve the nutritional yogurt quality. And what we do is working to integrate Engine Enzymes biotechnology into A, could be direct product, or B, a waste streamlined solutions, meaning that the process solution could be easily scaled to any existing or new processing lines of our customers. And then if I take your last question, what's the overall ambition that we have together? So when you think about the collaboration, Engine Enzyme Tetra Pak, I mean, we see this potential to find solutions that will open up new ways of processing food that we are not aware today. So of course, now we are tackling this solution to the actual problem. But as Karim said, the sky is the limit.
Mm. Absolutely. And in terms of the collaboration with Engine, why does this particular collaboration work well for you?
It's about the win-win partnership, the win-win situation. And that's what we always put on the table when we work with other companies. And in the case of Engine and Sign, we both want to solve the same challenge, which is related to upcycling food waste from production. And the way of finding the solution is simply by combining each other's strengths, right? From one side, we have Karim and Engine Enzyme technology and knowledge, and that allow to control enzyme distribution and enzymatic reaction. And on the other side, we have Tetra Pak. We are bringing the knowledge in the food processing. So again, it's the combination that makes this collaboration a success. We come with Engine Enzymes, biomanufacturing innovation, together with our food expertise.
So I'm interested in how this particular project is going. So Karim, what's the goal for your company from this collaborative project, and how close are you to achieving it?
Well, the first goal, as I mentioned in this specific case, is to actually achieve this product that we have aimed for with with the acid whey as starting material. And that's going great. We have already done that at lab scale. And now the question is, how do we scale it up and take it to the next level? So that is a so far great collaboration so far. And the overall goal here is to simply explore or exhaust, I would say, the possibilities of using enzymes to make better food. And I'm thinking, apart from waste streams, which is a great way to start, and to moving forward to actually improving vegetable proteins, vegan proteins, for example, cheese manufacture. You can take a pea protein, for example, and convert it to, or change that protein into a form that is better suited for making cheese or meat patties or whatever you want to make it taste better. Or you can convert fruit juices to reduce the sugar content of fruit juices, or there are so many things that we can do here. So we just want to make sure that whatever crazy ideas our scientists have, that they are grounded in what actually can be sold and what consumers want and what Tetra Pak's customers want. And of course, it needs to make commercial sense as well as being nice solutions or nice science. It needs to make commercial sense, it needs to have a market fit, and it needs to solve a real world problem out there.
So Lydia, what about from your point of view? How close are you to achieving your goals from this collaboration?
I will talk first a little bit about the overall goal of the partnership, because of course, I mean, there is the actual problem, but I would like to talk as well a little bit about the overall potential of enzymes. And I'm allowing myself to explain it in a very simplistic way, Karim, so you have to excuse me. Stefan, one could say that enzymes is for food as DNA is for humans, right? So a bit more developed explanation is that DNA is the backbone of what we are, and then enzymes and the reaction are the backbone of what happens inside food processes and product quality. So you understand that Engine Enzyme and Tetra Pak, we are both searching to unlock the potential of the enzymes in the food and beverage industry. So imagine that by combining both knowledge and experiences in different areas, we could find a solution on how to upcycle overall food waste from production. I mean, this is very big. And if we come to like a more specific case, which is what we are working with now, as Karim said, the lab studies we have performed together are promising. And in the following months, we will be working on, you know, the understanding of the scaling up of this process.
And more broadly, how significant are these kinds of partnerships to Tetra Pak for solving the really big food production problems and challenges? Is collaboration key, do you think, to all the big challenges facing the food industry?
Yeah, absolutely, Stefan. At Tetra Pak, we truly believe that technology and innovation are essential contributors to this global food system that's, of course, safe, nutritious, resilient, and sustainable. And one could understand that those challenges around food processing are enormous. They are really too big. Hence, we cannot solve them by ourselves. And that's the reason why we are partnering with other players. We have startups, suppliers, academia. We are together with accelerators. We are having like that connections with investors, because more than ever, we need to make sure that this 1+1 becomes 3. So it's very important.
And what about the other startups that you're supporting? Who else are you working with other than Karim's company? And how do you choose your partners? What's the strategy behind all that?
I will start a little bit with some examples. And right now we have more than 15 collaborations ongoing with startups. And what we do is that we integrate them in our development programs, but we do it without making them part of our typical rigid processes that we would use for our internal capabilities. Then if I bring up three areas of collaboration, we have a lot going on in the biotech overall. And Stefan, if we follow the trends and the investments, we see that, for example, fermentation will become one of the world's major food production methods within the next decade. And in this area, in Tetra Pak, we are developing new technologies through collaboration with startups in the field of both precision fermentation and biomass fermentation. We move then as well to the insect protein. And here we have been exploring with different startups, probably you know the Swedish one company called Tebrito. And together we are working on processing solutions to make this insect protein more acceptable in our daily diets, right? So we are designing product recipes, adapting processing solutions, and of course conducting product trials to see customer acceptance. The third area I want to bring to the table is with startups that are related to enhanced nutrition. And here, one that I could name is Nucaps. It's a Spanish startup. And together, we are co-creating to encapsulate nutrients that would prevent degradation during the processing and food storage. And last part of the question is how do we choose those partners? And that's quite straightforward, because in research and development, our partnerships are a result of, let's say, a strategic portfolio management that's based on a gap analysis that we consider in different time horizons. So there is this exercise where we ask ourselves a very basic question, which is, okay, which type of solutions and know-how are needed in 6 months, in 3 years, or 10 years and above? And then based on the answer to that question, we are going to make a decision on either using our internal capabilities or join forces with the external ecosystem, because obviously, as I said before, we cannot tackle everything by ourselves.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning just how large and complex the food industry is. So how do you involve your customers and their brands in this side of the business? And I wondered how supportive they are to this approach to innovation.
Those challenges are, of course, relevant for our customers, because this is a problem for consumers as well, right? So at the end of the day, we are all trying to solve the same riddles in the food processing. So it's very common when we are talking about this early innovation that we are having co-development to overcome the obstacles and move faster together with our customers. So if I mention two of the most natural ways of collaborating with them, the first one is about our customer innovation centers worldwide. We have premises in the US, in Sweden, in Singapore, Dubai, Modena, and Brazil. And it's very common that customers come to explore new growth opportunities with packaging and processing solutions, right? Then the second one is what we call the product development and testing centers. There is one in Denmark that is specialized for ice creams. And in those product development centers, we have the manufacturers that come here and test, like, about flavors, new product textures, new product types, and they do it all before they go launching into full-scale production. It's something very beautiful that I'm very proud of when it comes to Tetra Pak, is that even through the pandemic, we were able to adapt transitioning this product development center experience to a virtual one. And then it meant that the customer could have these trial free sessions without, you know, traveling to a specific country. And you can imagine that we have doubled the number of days that our product development centers are open to customers in the last 10 days, in the last 10 years. And this has been through this remote experience. So all in all, if I take the last part of the question, is that this is really demonstrating how critical product innovation is, not only for us, but as well for our customers.
So final question for both of you, and maybe Karim can answer first. What do you see as the main barriers to collaboration itself? If you could choose one big thing to change, which might free up innovators and ideas, which would make it easier for people to work together, what might that be, Karim?
I think we have a lot to do to improve the legal framework, especially in Europe, and how we are addressing the entry of new foods or novel food products or compounds into the food ecosystem. It takes way too long, and it's way too difficult to put a new product on the market, even though it is natural. It can be a natural product. It can be present in that we're already eating in another context. And now you're saying we're producing this cheaply, effectively, nicely, cleanly in a factory, and suddenly we have to jump through all these legal hoops to make it available to the consumer. That has to be improved. Of course, we have to be safe. And again, we want to feed our kids with safe food, but the framework needs to evolve with the technology. It's lagging behind.
And Lydia, what about from your point of view? What do you see the main barriers to collaboration?
I'm not going to repeat the one Karim mentioned, but I think this is like a big, big bottleneck. So I agree 100% with you, Karim. And then if I would bring another one to the table, from a corporate perspective, I would like corporates to have more of this long-term perspective, because we cannot innovate only, you know, on a short time horizon, on the closest time, because that solves the problem today, but it will not tackle the problems that come in a longer time perspective. So I would like to have, you know, always this perspective of keeping budget and resources, not only to work on what's known today, but what's unknown for the future.
Well, I think these are exciting times, and I certainly can't wait to hear the next phase of your collaboration, because it does sound like it could make a huge difference to so much of the food industry. Lydia Guthier and Dr. Karim Engelmark Kasimji, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this episode made in partnership with Tetra Pak. If you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. For example, you can explore our History Of series. We've covered the history of tea, chocolate, sugar, whiskey, and much more. Just go to the site and search History Of. Follow to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And thank you so much for listening.